Amen. Well, I enjoyed the missions conference, and those men did a great job of preaching all week, and it was amazing how the Lord kind of brought some things together and just lined everything up for us. So praise the Lord. If you missed any of it, you missed it, and you can listen online. I think everything's up, so if you'd want to listen. But if you would grab your Bibles, Psalm 126. And, you know, I try to choose a theme for the missions conference, and then I kind of, you can see the banners that we have up, that's kind of the theme, and it's kind of the theme for the year. I kind of look at it as something to keep in front of you for the year, and you can kind of look and remember it. And I know sometimes those kind of fade into the background after a while, but I want you to kind of think about it. And as it's up there, you can see it. And many of you have the verses memorized. You know what the verses are, and the verses we have up there are particular. And Psalm 126 and verse 6, we find here, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And the goal, as you can see, you must sow to reap a harvest. And normally I would have preached before the missions conference on this, but I didn't think the Lord really wanted me to, because I think he wanted to kind of set the stage for those guys and exactly what they were planning and what he was having them do. And so I want to continue that thought. You must sow to reap a harvest. You realize that every farmer has a goal, probably. They don't put things in the ground to not get a crop later, right? I mean, that's kind of obvious, right? We don't, you know, some of you have your own little vegetable gardens and different things, and you do whatever you do, your raised beds and or you fence things in, because we've got way too many animals around here, right? You do things so that you can have a crop, and at the end of the day, you actually have fruit for your labor, right? That's kind of the idea. The idea is that I actually gain something after I put it in the ground. There's a plan. There's a setup. The seed that is sown is to have the harvest. Every farmer wants a harvest. Every person who goes out and plants and does those things, their goal in the end is to reap something and get the benefit of it. That's the goal. And if somebody doesn't go out and sow, you're not going to get a reap of a harvest. Now, we've all seen it, right? We have two main crops around here, right? Most of the time, right? If they got a big field, right? You got a soybean field or you got a corn field, right? That's basically, that's not all of them, I know, but that's kind of, you drive through, that's what you're basically going to see. And all of us have seen a soybean field with one stalk of corn in the middle, right? We've all seen it, right? That one's the accident, right? It didn't really, but that's not what he's looking to reap. You can accidentally reap something that you're not trying to reap, right? But normally, if you want something in particular, you choose what you want and you plant what you want, and you will get what you planted. Though that's the object. Just because you got a stray corn kernel in there doesn't mean that you were looking to gain that corn. You were just happened to get that one, right? So every once in a while, but that's not the harvest. The harvest isn't the one stalk of corn. The harvest was the soybeans. You see, if you want a harvest, you have to sow. And if you don't sow, whatever you get on accident doesn't really count as much of anything. That's not really what we're going for. We're going for a harvest. We know that the Lord often has talked about the harvest, right? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we've got all the references to all those things. But here in Psalm 126, he makes a very specific statement. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," and I love this next phrase, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves." You know what that tells me? That tells me if someone is willing to sow, they will reap something. the question comes, then what do we sell? How do we sell? Who's supposed to sell? What do we get when we sell? That's what we're looking for. We oftentimes sow all the wrong things and reap all the terrible things, and then we skip over the idea of what we really ought to have. But God wants to set us up for a good crop and a good harvest. And so this morning I am going to preach on you must sow to reap a harvest. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll look at the Bible today. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for these men that came in for the missions conference and the messages, Lord, that spoke to our hearts and Father, moved people to the altars. And Father, I pray you would just continue to help us and strengthen us and encourage us, Father, especially with the thought of missions in mind and being missionaries ourselves and being workers in a field. Father, I pray once again you would bless us and open up the word of God to us. Help me to say what I ought to say and nothing more and nothing less. I pray that it'd be clear and easy to be grasped today. Father, I pray that your word would be able to speak to our hearts and we would be encouraged to know that we can give out the word of God to a lost world who needs a Savior and they need a clear vision of Him. Father, once again, I pray you would bless our day today. I thank you for those that are here and I pray, Father, you'd bless them for being here. Lord, we love you. We pray you'd come back soon to take us home. And I pray if someone here isn't ready to go with us, I pray today would be the day of salvation and they'd call upon Jesus Christ alone. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing you see is oftentimes the question of, well, what am I planting? If you're a farmer, the question's going to be, well, what crop do I want, right? Isaiah chapter 5, the Lord purchases a vineyard and he buys the place and he goes ahead and sets it up and he gets the choicest of grapes and he plants the seed for the best grapes that he could possibly get. What you put in the ground, it's the choice of what you want to put in the ground. What do we have for seed? Well, Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 8, you've got the parable of the sower and the seed. So we won't turn there, you know the parable. Right, the sower goes ahead and he gets the seed and he goes and he puts the seed out. And when he puts the seed out, some falls by the wayside and some on the thorns and some on the stony ground and some into good ground and it brings forth and so on. And he says very explicitly in verse number 11 that the seed is the word of God. There is zero question what the seed is. He doesn't even give you wiggle room on what it could be. He just goes explicitly to the disciples, the seed is the word of God. Done. This is not difficult for us to grasp. You realize our job is to put the seed of the word of God out. That's our job. By the way, we're not even in the parable of the sower and the seed. You're not even in particularly caring about what ground you throw it on. You just start throwing it. Because you don't know what kind of ground's out there. And he's just throwing the seed out there and hoping for what he needs. And he's hoping that somebody has come by and there's been some plowing done and there's some watering that's going to happen and there's some things. But his job is just dropping the seed, dropping the seed, dropping the seed, dropping the seed. The sower's job is to sow the seed. That's his job. And look over, we're going to come back to Psalm 126, but look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. Familiar spot to us. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In particular, that incorruptible seed he points to us sowing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The seed that you and I put out, the constant that we're supposed to have, is a constant time of sowing the Word of God, the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The job of the Christian is to constantly put out the Word of God in the form of the gospel. All roads go to the gospel. Old preacher one time said, I get my text and I run to the cross. Everything comes down to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul's statement is, he doesn't glory in anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The goal is to get them to Jesus Christ and not to get them to me or you. I can't help them. I can't fix it. I can't take care of it, but I know the one who can take care of it. The goal of the sower is just to put out the seed and to put out the gospel and to put out the Bible. And you saw me, I keep shuffling these things around. I'm just trying to decide how we want to do this. You know, there's lots of ways to put the gospel out. There's piles of ways to put the gospel out. We look at all sorts of things, and if you go over to the entryway over here, a bunch of people took tracts this past week. And I haven't restocked yet. We got more. We got plenty. All right. Don't worry. I just didn't get to it. And I didn't even think about it until I walked in this morning and I saw the track rack and I said, well, praise the Lord. Those are all gone. get them out. Amen. That's fine with me. I don't mind restocking track racks. Let me tell you right now, I'll restock track racks as long as we got tracks, man. And then when we run out, we just buy more. Praise the Lord. I'm fine with it. We got the church invitation tracks. I love these. I use a lot of these. That's a good one. It's got the gospel clear as can be in the church tracts. We know because we wrote it. Praise the Lord, right? I didn't write it. I edited some things. I moved some things around to make it fit the way that it is this time. But some of you got those old ones all the way back. This is almost exactly the same all the way back to those black and white ones. If you were here 35 years ago, I don't know when those first ones got printed, all the way over in the old building, and then they went to, I think, blue and white, and then they went to you know, the church colors here. They were tan and the maroon color, and now they're these. Say, what are you doing? Same message, just trying to make it look a little bit nicer. We threw the QR code on the back. Say, what does that do? They scan that, it takes it right to our church website, takes them right to the salvation page. Help them answer whatever questions they have. Hopefully it's right there. If they can't get an answer there, they know how to get a hold of the church. It's all right here. It's all ready to go. And you say, "What? Why do you do that?" Make it as easy as you can. Just get them the gospel. We got those out there. We got these thank you for your excellent service tracts. We print these. These are great. I leave these in restaurants all the time. These are wonderful. Nice and simple. Give him the gospel. I think we made these as well. We haven't reprinted these yet. We're probably going to get a new layout for these and spruce them up again and do them again. Say, why? Just get the gospel out. Thank you. Leave your tip. Wrap it up in that. They don't know what that is. They just take it and they, oh, thank you. Oh, people like to be thanked. In case you've never noticed that, they like it. They like it. You say, what else you got? Well, we got those piles and piles of Chick tracks out there. I like this one. This Was Your Life, probably my favorite of the Chick tracks. Some people have theirs, right? We give out a ton of these. A love story. I order both of these by the case. I don't even buy them by the packs. Like, we're not even at like 100, 150 at a time. We're 1,000 at a time for these. You say, why? Because these are the two titles probably all of you give out. I'm good with that. By the way, it saves us. So if these are the two you give out, that's perfectly fine. It saves us when we buy them by the case, all right? So we just buy them by the case. So why did it? Because we just give them out. We stamp them, hand them out, ready to go. This Was Your Life and a love story. Praise the Lord. We got the Christmas ones out back there now. And there's a Thanksgiving track. I know that, you know, the world skips Thanksgiving, right? They go straight from Halloween worshiping the devil to trying to get you to buy their stuff and act like they care about Jesus, right? That's what they don't care. They care about making money. And Thanksgiving doesn't make them money. It just doesn't. Thanksgiving doesn't make them money, so they don't care about it. So they skip that one. Plus, they don't want to be thankful anyways. That's the generation we live in. But man, the greatest story ever told. Who doesn't want to hear the greatest story ever told? Isn't that the greatest story ever told? That Jesus Christ would come into the world and save sinners. Whew. That's the greatest story you could ever tell anybody. And there it is. And you can get those. We got piles of them and piles of them. We got, of course, Brother Spurgeon's track out there. Say, what are you doing? I just want you to know what's out there. Some people never stop. They never look. I want you to know what's over there. There's Spanish version of this. If you need some Spanish tracks, I need to order some. But if you need Spanish tracks, please let me know. I know I've had Brother Ed's asked, because some of the guys that go street preaching in Wolcott, they had an influx of those guys. We're going to try and have some more of those for the street ministry to have while we're out there. But I'm going to try and get some more of those on hand. We seem to be getting more of that need around here. We used to not have much of that need. But this one is in Spanish and English, and you can have testimony of him. There's some different military guys out there. This one is Michael Hunstein. Brother Spurgeon puts that one out, and there's a couple other back there, some military men. We have our addictions program track. We set this one up as well. Brother Larry and I worked on that. Shannon had a hand in that and all sorts of things, and so you've got that. This one Brother Bacon loved. It's called God's Bridge to Eternal Life, and these are really good, and you can give these out. They're really plain, they're real simple, but they're nicely made, and just remove all of your thoughts on the world's thoughts on their good works, their religion, their money, their morals, their goodness is all taken away. It's Jesus Christ that crosses that bridge to give them eternal life. And takes care of that. If you've never seen those, go ahead and look. I encourage you, read tracks. Read the track before you give it out so you know what's in it. All right? We have good tracks. We got an influx of tracks randomly at times. People have sent us tracks. Pastor Legault got a box of tracks a few years ago. We took one out, we read it, and went, okay, this can go to the dumpster. You say, why? Because they were terrible. They weren't tracks. They were awful. By the way, just because it says that it's a gospel track does not make it one, okay? Some of them are terrible. You know what I found? I found as well that as you were reading through different tracks, I read through bunches of tracks at different times, and you know what I find? I find one piece seems to always be missing. I think I've mentioned it before when I was working on some of these. One piece seems to be missing. They have the death of Jesus Christ, and they have the burial of Jesus Christ, but they seem to always leave out that last piece. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that the main focus of the gospel is that Jesus died for your sins and he was buried. But if you leave him there, he's doing nothing for anybody. I mean, nobody gets a salvation at all if Jesus doesn't come up from a grave. If he's not a risen Savior, then he is no Savior at all. And so you got to watch out for some of that stuff in those gospel tracts. Brother Fielder's coming again. I think it's the last week in May, if I have it right in my head. He's coming this year, though, right? 2025 is Brother Fielder. He's got these little books. I've got maybe this one, maybe one more left. But these are Bible Truth on Salvation. He's got the big book. This is the condensed version. And you can hand this to somebody who you've witnessed to a bunch, and they don't really, something's not clicking. Right? You've had those people, and they've still got questions, and you still can't figure out what's going on or what's missing. You can hand them this little guy. That'll be a wonderful little truth bomb right there. Just hand it to them. Say, what are you doing? Just getting the seed out. Put the seed out. Figure out what you need to do to help it grow. Just keep putting the seed out. We're giving these out now to every... this is Brother Grady's book, What Must I Do to Be Saved? We're giving these out to every visitor that walks in the doors of the church. It's a few bucks. Brother Grady gave us a great deal on them. And so why do you do that? Because if they walk in here and they hear the gospel and they hear all about it and they don't get saved the first time that they're here, we just left them with pretty much every answer they're going to need. and they take it home with them. We do that all the time. And then on top of that, we're doing all the Bible handouts, which I want to schedule more of next year. I'm looking at the schedule to go, where can we put some more of these? We've had great success at what? Just putting the Bible out. We've added, Lauren has become my go-to for some design on some of the things that we're doing. She designed some really cool bookmarks that are going to go in these for next year. And there's a little coupon that's on there, ultimately. If they bring this and themselves to church, I'll exchange this for a brand new Bible. How's that for a deal? You meet them out there, hey, here's a New Testament, show you a little bit about, you know, and you go to church anywhere, we get talking to them, maybe they get saved. Hey, you show up to church, we won't stop at a New Testament, we'll get you a whole one. Let's get you a whole Bible and let them change it out. Get them in church, get them to meet some people here. Say, what are we doing? We're just trying to put the Word of God out. The goal is to just keep putting the Word of God in the hands of people around the world as well as local. Right now, you know what our job right here is locally? Get the Word of God out everywhere around us. Amen. Saturate it as much as we can. Put the Word of God out. You say, when has the Word of God ever failed? I don't know. I've never seen it fail. Yeah, his answer is it'll accomplish that which he sends it to do. You know the trouble? If all of those tracts stay in the rack and they all stay in storage and the Bibles never come out of the boxes and we never put them out, then it's truth that's doing nothing because it didn't get sown. Amen. Sitting in a box, sitting in your glove compartment in your car because you don't put them out. Pastor friend of mine, he said, what do I do with this? He goes, I've got a guy at the church, great guy. He stops at the track rack. We all love everybody who stops at the track rack, right? He goes, but then I went to his house. And he's just got piles of church tracts everywhere. He's probably got 10,000 tracts sitting in his house. He goes, what do I say to him? I said, I have no idea. If you have 10,000 tracts sitting at your house, please start putting them out and not keep them at your house. I have no idea why you would. Now, it's good to have tracts at your house, right? If somebody knocks on the door, you're doing your bills, whatever. You should have some tracts on hand, right? Amen? But if you have 10,000 sitting there, I am not sure what you are doing. That is the wrong kind of hoarding. I do not care about if you collect everything in the world. Collect one of each. Stop taking 10,000 of them, all right? The Word of God does not do any good if it is held in and the seed is held in storage and never planted. Now, it's an incorruptible seed, so it'll never die. But regular seed, you leave it like that, and what do you get? Well, it'll die eventually. It won't grow. It won't do anything. It'll become inert. It'll fail. But the Word of God is only bound by you and I on whether or not we put it out. Seed is designed to be sown. God wants to sow the seed. He wants it out there. We have tons and tons of means to put it out. If you need another way to put it out, I don't know what it is. We've got ways to just keep pumping it out. But do you put it out? The seed's designed to be put out. Look back at Psalm 126. Now, I know I took a while talking about those because some people have no clue what we have over there. It's on the sound booth side entryway. I know we don't have tracks in the other one. It's because there's two windows there. I have no idea. You can't really put anything there. All right? That sound booth side, you feel free, walk over to that entryway and just take a look. If you've never looked at the tracks, you've never done anything, go over there, take a look, see what's there. There's all sorts of chick tracks. We have all sorts of chick tracks. I mean, you can get all sorts of topics. We could get more, more topics or anything like that. I'm trying to not just have a bunch of random ones that nobody will want to give out, but there's all sorts of things. There's soccer ones, and there's baseball ones, and racing ones, and all those, and then you got just, they're everywhere. But if you don't know what seed you need, I would say I would grab one of the two Old Faithfuls. If you don't know what seed to grab off there, just grab a love story and grab This Was Your Life. Grab a church track. There is nothing easier, by the way, than when you hit a checkout counter or you're talking to somebody and you go, hey, I'd just like to invite you to my church. Is that really, that's just so terrible. People are going to hate me for that. Really? I find that, you go to church there? My obvious answer is, yeah, I'm the pastor. So I can make a joke after that. But you come here, right? This is your church. Hey, I'd just like to invite you out to my church. If you can come, service times are right there on the front. Address is on the back. Anytime you want, you can come join us. Oh, okay. Zero pressure, zero push, zero anything, but you just got a little bit of seed. And most of the time they take it, most of the time they put it in their pocket, most of the time. And they may never think of it again until they need a church. And what was that church that he said? What'd she tell me? Where does she go? They want other people to come to their church. Evidently you're not embarrassed of your church if you ask somebody else to show up there. Right? Hey, how about you come to mine? Okay. I don't know if you go to church anywhere, but if not, hey, here's ours. Come see us. Easiest things. Say, well, all right. Well, I guess the seed's there. It's available. Okay, but who gives it? Well, the sower gives it. Right? Verse number 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The sower is the one who sows the seed. And so you say, who does that? Anybody who's got access to seed can be a sower. If you've got seed to sow, you can sow it. If you don't have seed, you can't sow. But the Christian has no excuse not to have seed. Amen. The lost world doesn't sow seed. They don't sow the Word of God. Not intentionally. You may get some truth from a lost man, and you may have those, but they're not out there sowing the seed. Say, who's sowing the seed? Christians. Every Christian is available to sow seed. And every Christian should. You say, I don't know where I would do that. Do you ever have contact with any other human beings on the planet? Well, then you can get some seed out. Now, I know you can't do certain things at work and during work times and all. I know. But you can find ways to go ahead and find somebody else. Just somebody else. Now, you probably don't go through a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru ever, or a McDonald's drive-thru, or a Burger King drive-thru, or, that's past. You probably don't do any of that, so you're probably better than I am, so you probably don't do any of those things, so you're just going to have to figure out a different way. You know, at McDonald's now, you get the person at the first window. And you can get out two tracks every time you go. Yeah. Now, hopefully you're not going too much. All right? Hopefully they're not on a first-name basis with you every time you pull up to the window. And you're like, I've already given them 1,400 tracks. Hopefully your 10,000 tracks that are stored at your house did not all go to the same McDonald's worker. All right? But, you know what's amazing? How many of you... Don't raise your hand for this because that might not be good. But have you ever given out a gospel tract at one of those windows and then had somebody go, I have never gotten one of these? I think we're in America. How have you never gotten one of these? I've never been given a gospel tract before. That's insane. Now, I worked at McDonald's. I was there probably about 3 years total between Florida and here. And say, how many gospel tracts were you given? One. And not because I was in the back a lot. What's the problem? Christians aren't sowers. You can't tell me that we don't go anywhere or we don't do anything. You can't tell me that you're a hermit all the time. You can't tell me that there's nobody, no neighbors, no friends, no relatives, no coworkers, no anything, that you couldn't figure out a way to get just one piece of seed. Just one seed and go ahead and get it to them. You can't tell me there's not some stranger, random person on the street that you couldn't invite or that you couldn't give the gospel to. See, the problem is not the availability of the seed or the opportunity to sow. It is that you and I do not sow. It's the choice. Well, I just wish I could lead souls to Christ like Brother James does. I just wish I could see people saved like, okay, do you sow? Because I'll tell you this, if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. The Christian has there is a person that can sow, and it's you that can sow. Oh, our church, we give out thousands and thousands of tracts a year, and we give out hundreds of the New Testaments at the Bible handouts. Did you do any of those? Were any of those tracts your tracts that got given out? Were any of those New Testaments given out because you handed them to somebody? Did anybody hear about Jesus Christ because you told them? Say, what's the problem? He that goeth forth. You've got to choose to go. If you're unwilling to take the seed and you're unwilling to give the seed, then you're not sowing. There must be a willingness to give the Word of God to somebody else. Well, I'm too scared. No, you're unwilling. We can use our fears and we can use all sorts of excuses and we can do everything else. The real matter is you're just unwilling to do it. You don't want to give the word because of whatever reason. But the reason is you don't want to give it. Well, I don't have all the answers. God didn't tell you to have all the answers. He told you to sow the seed. Well, yeah, but I'm not good in front of people. He didn't ask you to be good in front of people. He asked you to sow the seed. We can go back to Moses and we can find all the excuses everybody uses to not do. Okay, we can all do that. But the truth is, we don't do because we just didn't want to at that particular moment. You lack opportunity because either you didn't bring seed with you or you don't want to. It's not the lack really of opportunity, it's the lack of willingness. Willingness to be prepared and willingness to give. And that's all it is. The sower, his job is to sow the seed. And I think really the problem becomes that last little piece, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Come on. There's no compassion for the lost. The Christian is supposed to sow, he's supposed to be willing to sow, he's supposed to be looking for the chance to sow, but nobody cares. Isn't that David's complaint? No man cared for my soul. Isn't that the problem? The problem is we don't care anymore. We become highly apathetic toward a lost world. Jesus Christ, look over, hold your place right here, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The context of Jesus having compassion is he's looking at the multitudes and he goes, they're like sheep with no shepherd. Isn't that lost people? When you got saved, you gained a shepherd. the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, and the great shepherd who provides all of your needs, and the chief shepherd who's coming back to get us. Somebody preached a message on that a little while ago on a Wednesday. It was me. The shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And he takes care of us, and he meets our needs. The lost world doesn't have a shepherd. They've got the idol shepherd. He's no real shepherd. The devil, he's no good. He's their father. He's the one, right? That's who he is. And he looks out at that multitude and he sees them and he's like, they're sheep. They're just scattered. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They're lost. And he's got compassion upon them. When's the last time you wept over the lost? When's the last time you cared? Oftentimes we're frustrated and we're angry. Somebody runs into the back of our heel with a shopping cart. I was listening. I just wanted him to know I was listening. We get frustrated. We get angry. They look like the mob as opposed to sheep having no shepherd. We look at them as a mass of people and humanity and we don't care about. We look out and we're just frustrated with everybody and everything. They're terrible and they're wicked and they're awful, and we oftentimes have zero hope that they would ever come to the Savior anyway, so why should I even bother? We look around and our answer to a world is, why should I even care? They don't care about me, and they don't care what I want. They don't care about Jesus, and they don't care about any of that stuff. Why should I care? Because you're the one on your way to heaven, and they're the one on their way to a lake of fire. You know it, and they don't know it. I've often told the illustration. I've used it. I've talked about, I don't have it written here, so this is all from memory, all right? So I might get a couple of little facts wrong. Nome, Alaska had the outbreak of diphtheria. Nobody could get in. Middle of winter, 1925, I believe it was. Nome, Alaska, a prayer went out to the world that Nome, Alaska would die. Everybody there is going to die. The world prayed. One man, Gunnar Kaysen is his name. Him and Charlie Olson, I believe. The two of them came up with a plan. Planes couldn't fly. They were water cooled. Can't do that when the temperature is negative 40. Right? Those aren't flying. Trains couldn't go. There were so many blizzards that had come through. Over the telegram lines, the snow was. Everything's encased. Nothing could be done. So they got the dog sled teams together. You guys know Balto, right? That's 1925. From Anchorage, Alaska to Nome, Alaska. Teams of bobsledders brought dog sledders brought one right after the other. One leg, hand off to the next. One leg, hand off to the next. Charlie Olson comes in to Gunnar Kaysen's spot. Gunnar Kaysen was the second to last leg. He looks at Gunnar Kaysen and he says, "It's impossible. My dogs are freezing. You can't see 5 feet in front of you. I lost one dog. My sled flipped twice. I barely made it here. Gunner, there's no way you can make it to the next place. We got to quit." Gunnar Kaysen says, "Now give it to me. I got to try. Everybody will die. I got to try." And he loads up. And he goes, "Yeah, but Gunner, you got a new sled dog as your lead dog. Your lead dog's hurt. That's unproven dog you've got in the front, Balto. I don't know how he's going to do, man. He can't lead you through all this. You can't see. You can't drive it. How are you going to do it? He says, I don't know. People are praying. And they need it. He loads up and away he goes. Gunnar Kaysen, or Charlie Olson says, Gunnar Kaysen is probably the bravest man that I have ever known. As he goes off into the snow, all you can hear is, hut, come on, Balto, pull, hut. He said, and he disappeared in a matter of moments. And I thought, I will never see my friend ever again. Gunnar Kaysen pulls into the next stop, amazingly. But the next stop must not have gotten word that he was on his way. The dogs aren't up. Everybody's sleeping. Nobody's ready. He's unhitched his poor dogs who have been running through the snow, and they're getting ready to bed down. And he realizes if this guy gets up, it's going to take him 3 or 4 hours to get everything ready. And there's just not time for that. So he hitches Balto back up, the rest of his team, and he pulls right back out. He's the only one to do two legs on what is called the Iditarod now. As he pulls out, he goes, and as he comes into Nome, Alaska, he had about 20 or so miles to go. As he pulls into Nome, Alaska, one of his dogs he's dragging, probably frozen to death. They have to peel him off of the sled. He's frozen in place. He's all bloodied and beat up. He said his sled had turned over, and it took him about 20 minutes to find the package of the antidote. So his hands were frozen, numb, frostbite. But he got it there. He comes pulling in. He was asked in an interview later, he said, hey, Gunnar, why'd you do that? He said, well, I had the antidote. They needed it. Oh, and my grandkids are in Nome. Say, why did he care so much? Because my grandkids are in Nome. Say, what's the trouble with us? It's not your grandkids that are going to hell. But it's somebody's. Somebody's kids are going to burn in a lake of fire because you don't care enough to give this. Well, I could get embarrassed. I could fail. They could never take it. Boy, they might make fun of me. I might lose some friends at work. Well, you know, my family won't like me very much. Okay. I guess you just don't care. You see, the sower's job is not to care about the results. The sower's job is to understand or to sow the seed. And if you don't care enough to sow the seed, there's not really much I can do. If the farmer's too lazy and doesn't care, his field will never be planted. Farmers are some of the hardest workers on the planet. You and I know it. But if they didn't care about their crop, They wouldn't work that hard. If you don't care about yours and a spiritual harvest, you'll be lazy and you won't care either. You won't do what needs to be done to see a harvest. You know, the seed is sown, the sower sows the seed, but there is great satisfaction when the job is done. I'm not going to end you down in those doldrums I just put you in, all right? He says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, there's a certainty of return upon sowing. You sow, you reap. That's a certainty. That's a fact of life. That's the way everything works. We sow, so we reap. We sow and we reap. Paul makes the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he that soweth is nothing. He that planteth, nothing. But God, he always gives the increase. If you're faithful to put out seed, if you're faithful to sow it, he'll be faithful to give you a harvest. That's always how it has worked. He wants you to get the truth. He wants you to give the truth. Then he wants you to reap the truth. The souls that come along with learning the truth. You'll get them. You'll get them even because you didn't do a ton of the work. Somebody else was sowing and somebody else was watering at the time. You got to have the increase. You know, we find if we put the word of God out on a street corner, that people go, oh, well, that's useless. You hardly ever see anybody from that. You don't really know anybody that gets saved at street ministry and then stays in church for a long time. And you don't really reap the benefits of having all these things. Yeah, but you reap the benefits everywhere else. Our church is an oddity, in case you've never noticed that. Not just that we're odd, but we're an oddity. We're in the middle of nowhere with this building, with plenty of people, still growing. We have folks that are older all the way down to kids in the nursery. We've got every bit of spectrum of age and group and type and whatever you want. All the demographics, we're just, boom, there they are. That is an oddity. So why do you think we have that? Because we sow the seed. Because we sow the seed. You say, well, I don't know if we're going to have, you know, why do we get all these blessings? I think it's just because, very simply, we try to sow the seed. We try to sow the seed. Whether it's out on street preaching and you get to go or you pray or whatever and help us go, and we go out and we go on a street and we pass it out there. We pass out the Bibles and we're looking for ways to get the gospel out. Going out on visitation and going all these places and just trying to get the gospel out and get the gospel out. You in your own personal life, grabbing those gospel tracts, talking to people, talking to friends, talking and witnessing and reaching and going. All those things pile together. And what it results in is an increase. And you may not see it all personally. You may not get to... Poor Brother Don. Brother Don Moody, he brings me people. He's brought Pastor Legault people. And all they want is to talk to the preacher for no apparent reason. Like, we really don't do... I guarantee Pastor Legault would agree with me. We don't do a thing. We go, well, you know this, right? And we walk through the gospel. And Don's covered everything. I think I've had like 4 or 5. I don't know how many Brother Don's brought me. And he brings them over, and all of a sudden, they're praying and getting saved. 10 minutes? 5 minutes? I mean, it's quick. Relatives, friends, coworkers, all sorts of stuff. People get, boom, they were ready to go. Say, who got in on the harvest? I randomly got in for no apparent reason. But you know who's rejoicing? The guy who sowed. That happens. Some days you get, and the guy who got to reap, praise the Lord. But either way, you know what we get? We get piles of sheaves coming in. When you start sowing, you learn, you'll reap. You'll reap. We don't reap the same day we sow all the time. But you get to reap. and it's reaping with rejoicing. There's always going to be a return, and there's always going to be rejoicing. We know there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. And man, you get to hear about people getting saved, and it gets you all excited. And if you're any kind of Christian, you hear somebody else getting saved, it just starts. Amen. There's nothing you can do about it. It just starts, you just get happy. Amen. You get that little extra bounce in the stuff, even if you weren't involved. You just hear about it. I sent word back. I was there. I preached the message in the morning, and that lady Lisa got saved up in New Hampshire, and I'm talking to all these other people in the church, and people are coming up and talking to me after the service and so on, and I keep looking over past everybody. And why? Because Brother Lord had told me that lady in the back, she's lost. He knew she was lost. He knew a couple other people were lost in the room, and she came up and started talking to him after the service. And I preached a salvation message. I was talking about that message on Cornelius I had preached that morning. And man, she's over there talking, and I'm looking. Say, what are you doing? I'm barely paying attention. I'm going to be honest. I was barely paying attention to everybody else's conversation. I had one thought in mind. Amen. Was she, is she kneeling yet? I can't. And people are looking. Oh, yeah. Let me try and engage back in conversation here. Right? Because I was focused on what? What's going to happen with her? You know, you start seeing the results of reaping and sowing, and you start to see it, even if it's not your results, it's somebody else doing the work. Amen. It starts getting you more and more excited, like, hey, amen, what can I do? How can I get in? How can I? Because the answer is, shall doubtless come again. There's no doubt you will get some results. Amen. You will reap a harvest. You will be able to see it, and you will have sheaves, but you got to sow. You've got to sow. Well, I'm just not seeing anybody saved. Well, you either got to wait and keep sowing, or you got to start sowing. It's up to you. If you aren't sowing, why should God let you reap? And if you are sowing, keep waiting. Keep waiting. The crop will come. That's the promise. The promise is if we sow, we'll reap. But if we don't sow, there's no expectation of reaping a harvest. You know, the harvest is not an accident. We labor to reap a reward that is a harvest. That's the goal. We strive to reach Jerusalem and Judea, and we got piles and piles of ways to do it. And we just had a missions conference last week to reach further. Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Looking to reach all the way out to the ends of the earth with the gospel. I don't know what you're going to give. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how any of it's going to go. No idea. That's you and the Lord. You heard that all last week. If you missed it, faith promise is about faith in God. What He told you to do, that's what you should do. But what you do there is part of what I'm talking about today, sowing and reaping. You and I will probably never go to every country that we've talked about over the last few years. We won't go. I don't think anybody in this room is probably going to end up going into the Ukraine unless by some chance war stops and we get liberty and there's some missions trip and we go. But we can pay so somebody else can sow some seed there. Amen. We can give so others can sow seed where we could never be. They can go so that we don't have to go. They're going? Okay, well, let's, you know, I would love to sow the seed in New Zealand. I'd love to go over there. It's one of the places I would love to go on a missions trip. Feel free to send me. Right? I would love to go. I would love to go. I love the Williams, so I would love to hang out with Brother Jeff and Debbie, and they're great. I love hanging them out with them when they're here, right? I would love to go. But you know, we have missionaries there, and although we would love to go and we don't get to go, not all of us are going to go. But they've been sowing seed for a long time because of what we give to them to help them there to sow and to sow and to sow. There's two ministries we were dealing with this past week. I would love, personally, I would love to take the Neals on for support. I think that ministry is amazing. I think Bearing Precious Seed Wings, I thought that was an amazing ministry. Sending scriptures everywhere they possibly can in the world. Anybody who's putting the Word of God out that much, I just want to get behind. And you know what they're trying to do? Well, you give to them, you know what you could? You have seed everywhere. The Sturts, we give to them, seed everywhere. They're doing whatever they can to put the Word of God all over the place. I mean, those Polish New Testament, or those Polish Bibles for the military, that's unbelievable to me. And just given so that other people can do that around the world. But what a shame would it be if we gave all that to reach the world and we never reached New York. We never took it upon ourselves to go ahead and grab some seed and to give some seed and to go into a field, because the field is still here. We still have work here. I hope it's not that you don't care. I hope it's that you care and that you're willing to go. You say, well, I'm too nervous. Then maybe you need to come down and say, God, I'm nervous, but I'll go. Many times it's just the question of who will go for us. And nobody wants to raise their hand. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth laborers in his harvest. God, who can I talk to? Maybe you know who you're supposed to talk to. And you come down and say, God, I haven't talked to them yet. I'll do that today. I'll talk to them today. Amen. I'm glad Brother Don missed, I keep mentioning Don today, I don't know why. Brother Don missed Wednesday night of the meeting because he was dealing with somebody that needed him and was giving them the gospel. So he missed church? Yeah. He was kind of doing something important right there. Say, why? Seed. Seed. Sow the seed. You'll reap a harvest. Let's go ahead and stand. Maybe you're in here this morning, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know the truth of what I was saying. Now is the time. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now. He died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again to save you for all of eternity. Maybe you need to come and we'll open a Bible and we'll answer your questions. You can know for sure your sins are forgiven forever. You can know you have a home in heaven. No, everything is taken care of because Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. Maybe you're in here today. You're saved. You know the truth. Maybe you just haven't been giving out as much as you ought to. Maybe you haven't been sowing the way you were supposed to be sowing. Maybe you want to look at God and go, God, I've been sowing. Could I get a harvest? I don't think that's too selfish of a question to God. God, would you let me reap a harvest? Could I see somebody just give me something today? He has a harvest. And he wants us part of that harvest. You will not sow, or you will not reap a harvest if you will not sow. You must sow. Christian, that's us. We must sow. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation now. If someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Those of us that are saved, Father, give us a vision of the harvest. Help us to lift up our eyes and look to that harvest and remember our responsibility to the harvest is to sow so that we can reap. Father, we love you and we pray you'd get the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.